I am given to understand that Muawiyah has been corresponding with you. Beware. He wants to make a fool of you, to blunt your intelligence, and to harm your self-respect. Remember that it is Satan which will attack an imprudent and uncautious Muslim from behind and from right and left, so that finding him unwary and unwatchful, it may overpower him and may enslave his reasoning. The fact is that during the caliphate of Caliph Umar, Abu Sufyan unwisely gave utterances to something which was unjustifiable and unreasonable. It was one of those evil suggestions of Satan which are not only an insult to a self-respecting man, but which cannot help in proving the decent according to the laws of Islam or in legalizing the heritage. The condition of man claiming such a lineage is that of a gate crusher in a party, from which he may be thrown out with humiliation. Letter 45. Uthman bin Hunayf was the governor of Basra. He was one of those persons who were held in respect by Imam Ali. During his governorship, once Ibn Hunayf attended a feast given by a rich man of Basra. It was a very sumptuous dinner. When Imam Ali heard of this, he wrote the following letter to Uthman bin Hunayf. It shows the more Imam Ali liked a person, the more severely he judged his activities. Ibn Hunayf, I have received information that a person of Basra invited you to a dinner, and you immediately accepted the invitation. I have also heard that very sumptuous meals were served there. Finest varieties of viands were placed before you in large plates, and you enjoyed them. I am sorry to hear the news. I never expected that you would accept that invitation of a person who invites big officers and rich people, and from whose doors poor persons and hungry paupers are turned away rudely. Look carefully into the things which you eat. If there is even a shade of their being obtained unlawfully, then throw them away. Only eat those things about which you are perfectly certain that they are obtained by honest means. You must know, Ibn Hunayf, that for everyone who follows a religion, there is a leader and a guide from whom the follower learns the canons of the religion and the ways of leading a pious life. Now, look to your Imam. Imam Ali means himself. In this world, he has satisfied himself with two old, torn, and coarse garments and two pieces of bread, one in the morning and one in the evening. I know that to adopt such a hard way of life is beyond you, but at least try to be pious. Try to follow me and be my companion in virtue, piety, and simple living. I swear by Allah that from this world I have neither amassed gold, nor have I gathered wealth and possessions, nor have I changed these coarse and old garments of mine with even an ordinary raiment from your treasure. Verily, under the sky we held only feather as our personal property, but we were deprived of it. I tempted them. They took it by force, and we had to bear the wrench patiently and cheerfully. The best judge is the Lord Almighty. What was I going to do with fidak or with any other worldly possession? I never wanted them for myself. I know that tomorrow my lodging will be my grave. Its darkness will cover my traces and will not allow my condition to reach this world. A grave, after all, is a pit, and even if it is made very big and broad, time will gradually reduce its size and will fill it with earth and stones. My attention is concentrated on one thing, that is, with the help of the fear of Allah and piety, I keep my desires under control so that in this world I may not commit sins and errors. And on the day of judgment, when fear will be the lot of everybody, I may feel safe and satisfied. If I had so wanted, I could have very easily found ways and means to provide for myself the purest honey, the best variety of wheat, and the finest silk clothes that could be woven. But it is not possible for inordinate cravings to overcome me, and it is not possible that greediness persuades me to acquire the best provisions when in Hijaz. And Yemen, there may be people who have no hope of obtaining a piece of bread and who have never satisfied their hunger fully. It is not possible for me to satiate myself when there are around me people whom hunger and thirst keep restless and agonized. Do you want me to be like the person about whom somebody has very aptly said, "Is this disease not enough for you that you keep on sleeping with your stomach full, and around you there are such starving mouths that they will greedily eat even dried goat skin? Shall I be satisfied simply because people call me Amir al-Mu'mineen, leader and ruler of faithful and sincere Muslims? Shall I not sympathize with the faithful Muslims in their calamities? Shall I not be their partner in their adversities? Shall I not be their fellow sufferer? Shall I not set an example for them to patiently, courageously, and virtuously bear privation? Am I created simply to keep on thinking about my food? Am I like that animal which is tied down to a post and which thinks of nothing but its fodder, or like that uncontrolled beast which roams about and does nothing but eats its fill and does not know the purpose of life for which it is created? Have I no religion, no conscience, and no fear of Allah? Am I left absolutely free without any check or control to do as I like? Am I at liberty to go astray, to wander away from the true path of religion and to roam about in the wilderness of greed and avarice? I am sure some of you would say that if son of Abu Talib eats so little and lives on starvation, then surely he must have gone weak and exhausted and must be unfit to face his enemy to battlefields. But you must remember that hardy trees which grow on the borders of deserts have very strong timber, and trees which are found in marshy lands have thin bark and soft wood. Similarly, when the former are lit up, they burn longer and with very strong glow and give out more heat than the latter. My relationship with the Holy Prophet is like a branch shooting from the same stem, or like the relation of the wrist to the arm. I swear by Allah that even if all the Arabs unite together against me, I shall not run away from the battlefield. And when occasion arrives, I shall do my best to subdue them. At the same time, I shall try to clean the earth of the existence and vicious influence of that untimely evil genius and rapt mind Muawiyah, so that the land may be free of his wicked and sinful sway. O vicious world, do not try to snare me. You cannot entrap me. I am beyond your temptations and pitfalls, and I have taken good care not to slip into such pitfalls. Where are those people whom you had tempted with pleasures and enjoyments? Where are those groups whom you have allured with pomp and glory? They are imprisoned in their graves, pressed down by tons of earth upon them. O vicious world, had you been a person or being with life and limb, I would have punished you under the laws of the Lord, because you have tempted with impossible hopes millions of individuals from the true path of humanity. You have brought about destruction, decline, and fall of nations after nations, alluring them with power and pleasure. You have thrown crowned heads into dust. You have lowered them to such depths that there is no refuge for any of them at that place, and no one can come out from there. Woe be to the man who with misplaced confidence steps on the slippery ground presented by you as firm foothold. He will certainly slip. Woe be to the man who thinks of riding the waves of false hopes and expectations raised by you. He will surely sink. Whoever tries not to be entrapped by your temptations and snared by your allurements will find the straight path of safety and salvation. Whoever tries to spurn you does not care for the consequences of his action, though he may find himself in adverse circumstances and difficulties. To him this world, its pleasures, and the life surrounded by the pleasures or by woes and afflictions is like a day which will soon pass away. O world, be gone from me. I can neither be caught unawares by you, that you may plunge me into disgrace and humiliations, nor will I lose control of myself, that you may drag me wherever you like. I swear by Allah that bearing his destiny over which I have no control, and which may mold my life as he wishes, I shall control myself, that I shall be contented and happy if I get one piece of bread with a pinch of salt, and that my mind will be dead to the desires of pleasures, fame, power, and glory. Ibn Hunayf, you have seen sheep and goats after drinking their fill. They retire to their den. Do you want Ali to be like them, to eat, drink, and enjoy? May I get blind if asked so many years of my life, by now turn into an animal in human form? Happy is the person who did his duty with Allah and man, who bore adversities patiently, deep overpowered him. He used his hand as pillow and lay on mere earth along with those whom fear of the day of judgment has often kept awake, who do not find much time to sleep, whose lips keep on moving, glorifying Allah, and who have been absolved from sins on account of the penance they impose upon themselves. They are noble persons, and they certainly will secure salvation. O Ibn Hunayf, fear Allah, and be content with the bread that you get with lawful means, so that you may be contented and free from the fire of hell. Letter 46. A letter from Imami to one of his governors. You are one of those persons whose assistance I acquire in propagating the religion, in strengthening its hold, in defeating the unbelievers and sinners, and in guarding dangerous frontiers of this state. Seek the help of Allah in your difficulties and enterprises, in your behavior with your subjects. Remember that you should use leniency and tolerance along with sobriety. Be kind, tolerant, and lenient as far as and as long as possible. But when you feel that your purpose cannot be achieved without sobriety, only then you can adopt such an attitude. But remember always to treat them sympathetically, kindly, courteously, and to meet them cheerfully. While meeting them, talking to them, and wishing every one of them, whether rich or poor, big or small, you should behave as if they are your equals, so that important persons of your state may not presume to derive undue advantage out of your uncalled for servile behavior, and poor people may not lose hope in your justice and sympathy. Letter 47. When Abdurrahman bin Muljim wounded Imam Ali, who was then offering the morning prayers in the Masjid of Kufa, Imam Ali advised Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein in the following words: I advise you to fear Allah. Do not go after this vicious world, though it may try to entice you. Do not seek it, though it may seek you. And do not grieve over and pine for things which this world refuses you. Let the eternal reward and blessings of Allah be the prompting factors for all that you say and do. Be an enemy of tyrants and oppressors, and be a friend and helper of those who are oppressed and tyrannized. To you, to my other children, to my relatives, and to all who acquire this will of mine, I advise you to fear Allah and to be pious, to have fair and honest dealings with one another, and improve mutual relations, because I have heard your grandfather, the Holy Prophet, saying, to remove mutual enmity, ill feeling, and hatred is better than recommended prayers and fasting. Fear Allah when the question of helpless orphans arises. You should never let them starve. So long as you are there to guard and protect them, they should not be ruined or lost. The Holy Prophet had always advised, cautioned, and reminded us of this responsibility. So much so that we often thought that the Prophet of Allah might on the next occasion assign them a share from our heritage. Fear Allah in respect of the Holy Quran, lest others should excel and surpass you in following its tenets and in acting according to its orders. Fear Allah so far as prayers are concerned, because prayers are pillars of your faith. Fear Allah in the matter of His holy house, Kaaba. Let it not be deserted, because if it is deserted, you, the Muslims, will be lost. Do not forget Allah. Struggle in His cause with your tongue, with your wealth, and with your lives. Develop mutual liking, friendship, and love, and help one another. Take care that you do not spurn and treat one another badly and unsympathetically. Exhort people to do good and abstain them from evil. Otherwise, the vicious and the wicked will be your overlord. And if you willingly allow such persons to be your rulers, then this will not be heard by Allah. O sons of Abdul Muttalib, let there be no retaliation for the act of my murder. Do not roam about with a drawn sword and with the slogan, Amir al-Mu'mineen is killed. And do not start the massacre of my opponents and enemies. See it too that only one man, that is my assassin, is killed, as the punishment of the crime of murder is death, and nobody else is molested. The punishment to the man who attempted the murder shall take place only when I die of the wound put by him. And this punishment shall be only one stroke of sword to end his life. He should not be tortured before his death. His hands and feet should not be amputated, because I have heard the Holy Prophet saying, do not amputate hands and feet of anybody, be it a biting dog. Letter 48, a letter to Muawiyah. Remember that inequity and falsehood bring disgrace to a man in this world and in the hereafter. The vicious character of a tyrant always betrays itself to those who carefully look into his actions. You must know that you can never get what has not been destined for you. There are people who want to grab a thing, any right or claim over it, to get the object which they crave for. They try to interpret the commands of Allah to suit their purpose, but Allah has always given a lie to such people. Therefore, you should also fear the Day of Judgment, the day when only those people who have done deeds deserving reward will be happy, and those who have surrendered themselves to Satan and do not want to come out of its influence will. You invited me to let the Holy Book act as an arbitrator, but as you never believed that book to be the word of Allah, I therefore did not accept your invitation, though I always accept the commands of that book. Letter 49. A letter to Muawiyah. This vicious world will try to turn a man away from religion and from having faith in the hereafter. And when a worldly-minded person grasps a little of it, it always opens before him vistas of false hopes, ambitions, temptations, and greed, so that he is never satisfied with what he has grabbed and will always covet more. The result often is that he loses already amassed, and his plans do not work out. If you take a lesson from the past, then you can guard your future very well.
A circular to the chiefs of his army.
This is a circular letter from the creature of Allah, Ali bin Abi Talib, to the chiefs of army and generals of his cantonments. It is incumbent upon the chiefs of the state that their status and prestige should not make them change their attitude towards the subjects of the state. Instead, the favors which the Lord has granted them should draw them nearer to the people and should make them more sympathetic towards them. My duty towards you is that, except the secrets of war, I do not keep anything pertaining to the affairs of the state hidden from you. Bearing religious questions in all other matters concerning your welfare, I should take you in my confidence and seek your advice. I should guard your interests and rights to the best of my ability. I should see that you are well protected and well looked after, and I should treat all of you equally without any favoritism. If you receive such favorable treatment from me, then it is your duty to thank Allah for His kindness. Your obedience to me is that you should follow the orders given, be good, and bravely face difficulties to attain the right path. If you cannot maintain this standard of fidelity and do not behave yourself, then you will lose the straight path of virtue, and nobody will be lower in my eyes than you. I shall then punish you severely. You make your subordinate officers promise to act accordingly, and should give them the same facilities and privileges as are given to you, so that your affairs also run smoothly. Letter 51. A letter to the collectors of taxes and revenues. This is a letter from the creature of Allah, Ali bin Abi Talib, to the collectors of taxes and revenues. One who does not care for his salvation will never think of providing for his life after death with good deeds, and therefore he will not be able to escape the punishment. Be it known to you that the responsibilities laid down upon you are a few, but the divine reward reserved for you is very high. Allah has prohibited you from tyranny and justice, and even if there had not been any fear of punishment for these inequities, the mere reward of being just, kind, and human would have been such that there could not have been any excuse for not trying to achieve it. Treat the taxpayers with equity and justice, and think over their wishes with patience and kindness, because you are the treasurer of the subjects, representative of the people, and the officer on behalf of higher authority. Do not force anybody to forsake his requirements and to do without his necessities, so that he may pay the taxes. In collection of taxes and revenues, do not sell their winter and summer clothing, their slaves, or such of their animals as are of service to them. Do not resort to whipping. Do not touch their property, be they Muslims or non-Muslims. But if you find their armaments or weapons or horses of the non-Muslims, for which there is a danger and a possibility of these being used in war against the state, you may confiscate them. Such things as are dangerous to safety of the country should not be left in the possession of unreliable persons, so that they should not prove harmful and injurious to the Muslim state and its people. Be kind to the people,
Treat the army well. Do not grudge to do your best in helping the subjects and in guarding the religion. These two duties are obligations laid down upon you by Allah, because in return to the blessings and bounties which He has granted us, He wants you and me to be thankful to Him as much as we can, and to help His cause to the best of our ability. You must remember that even our strength and capabilities are His blessings granted to us. Letter 52. A circular about prayers to the governors of all the provinces. Lead the Zuhr prayers till the shadow of a wall becomes equal to the height of the wall. The Asr prayers can be performed till the sun is still bright and enough time of the day is left for a person to cover a distance of 6 miles. The Maghrib prayers should be performed when people break their fasts and when Hajj pilgrims return from Arafah. And the time for Isha prayers is when the red glow of the evening twilight disappears from the west. Till 1/3 of the night is still left, the morning prayers are to be performed when there appears enough light of the dawn for a man to recognize the face of his companion. While leading the prayers, make them so short that the weakest amongst you may not feel tired to follow you, and his strength and patience may not be overstrained. Letter 53. An order to Malik Ashtar. Malik Ashtar was a famous companion of Imam Ali. He was head of the Bani Nakhi's clan. He was a faithful disciple of Imam Ali. He was a brave warrior and had acted as a commander-in-chief of Imam Ali's armies. His valor had earned for him the nickname of Fearless Tiger. Imam Ali had specially taught him the principles of administration and jurisprudence. He venerated and loved Imam Ali sincerely and had earned Muawiyah's enmity on that account. Muawiyah had conspired against him and got him killed by his gang of hirelings. His untimely death deeply grieved Imam Ali, who, expressing his grief, said, "He was to me what I was to the Holy Prophet." The following instructions in the form of a letter were written to him by Imam Ali, who appointed him as a governor of Egypt in place of Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. This letter is a precis of the principles of administration and justice as dictated by Islam. It deals with the duties and obligations of rulers, their chief responsibilities, the question of priorities of rights and obligations, dissipation of justice, control over secretaries and subordinate staff, distribution of work and duties amongst the various branches of administration, their coordination with each other, and their cooperation with the center. In it, Imam Ali advises Malik to combat corruption and oppression amongst the officers, to control markets and imports and exports, to curb evils of profiteering, hoarding, black marketing. In it, he has also explained stages of various classes of society, the duties of government towards the lowest class, how they are to be looked after, and how their conditions are to be improved, the principle of equitable distribution of wealth and opportunities, orphans and their upbringing, maintenance of handicapped, crippled and disabled persons, and substitutes in lieu of homes for the aged and the disabled.